To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its sponsors, Christy Doherty and Mia Hansen Aloha, and our very special super subscriber sponsor, Miss Madonna Hines, Madge with a sexy J. We love you, girls. Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old brobs. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast and the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobooks on iTunes. And hello, Benjamina.
Hello. Guys, hello.
Ben is my little bestie and partner. He's from the B-Side blog and the Banter Blender podcast.
Yes, I'm recording a new episode today with Lisa Timmons. It's going to be an old school Banter Blender with Ben and Lisa. Well, whatever, Banter with Ben and Lisa is what we used to call it, but now it's the Banter Blender. But we are going to do an episode today, and it's kind of funky. We're going to be talking about the local Los Angeles election coming up in a few weeks because we're both fired up about a certain measure. I know that sounds fun, right? But you should all listen.
Everybody's really fired up about whatever measure that is.
Which measure I guess, S.
Yeah, don't even go into it here, kids.
All I'm going to say is it's not good. So if you're in L.A., don't vote for Measure S because they're trying to make it seem like it's going to be good for our neighborhood. They're like, save our neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah. Are they saying it's for the children?
Yeah, no. You want to vote it down. Everyone just vote down Measure S.
If you want more information,
keep tuned. Go check out the Banter Blender when the new episode comes up. Yeah. Look at that.
I have a feeling they're saying Measure S, it's for the children because that's what they always do. They're like Phaedra.
Of course. Yeah.
So, speaking of Phaedra, we are moving Real Housewives of Atlanta to our Thursday slot because it's empty for a while, and we want to spend as much time as possible talking about it because that shit is hilarious.
Yeah,
and really last hilarious. Night was amazing.
Last night was, yeah. Sorry to tease you with it, but Marriage Medicine is wrapping up. Ladies of London is done. Thursday is open up. And we don't want to make you wait until Thursday to listen to Top Chef. So,
but we do have to say one thing about Atlanta right now.
Yeah,
and that is they took the "Who said that?" to a whole new level with "Who wanna eat your pussy?"
Yeah,
"Who wanna eat your pussy?" I mean, I've never heard so much fighting about pussies in my life. It was amazing.
Yeah, they took the Vanderpump Rules storyline and then just took it to 10. This is how Brittany and Kristen should have been reacting.
This is Vanderpump Rules as told by the community theater in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And the roles are played by Candy and Portia.
I was watching that episode last night and I was really exhausted. I was like coming down for like I had gone out to dinner and had cocktails and beers. And I was one of those things I was sober enough that obviously I could drive home because I'm really paranoid about that. I don't drink and drive, but I still had like enough of like a very, like a teeny buzz to make me kind of like in a fog the whole episode that I was like recapping, but I was in a fog. And then when that happened, I was like, what is going on? This is amazing.
I mean, it went from Candy and Riley crying and writing like this beautiful song to
who trying to eat your pussy?
I mean, hilarious. And I'm glad we're not doing it today because I have a bit of the Weeknd voice. Not the Weeknd, the singer.
Also.
But I have Weeknd voice where I'm like, that's my
you just missed my Weeknd impersonation.
I feel like I'm dumb.
That's what he does. He just does. He lilts a lot. He lilts. He goes like, okay, we're going to piss off everyone listening who's actually trying to listen to Bravo recaps right now. But by the way, can we give a shout out to the people on Reddit? Because They are so, and also on Heather McDonald's Juicy Scoop secret group on Facebook, because y'all are just saying the nicest things about us. It really means a lot. You guys are like going out there and writing about how like just all this stuff, and it really means a lot to us. So thanks, everyone. We're paying attention. We hear any sort of critiques we hear, we're always trying to like make ourselves better, and that's that.
Yeah. Thanks, you guys.
Yeah.
You just say it so much nicer than me, you know?
I don't
I'll
know if
just
I
go
say it
with
nice.
yours.
I
I'll
just ramp it up.
co-sign. I'll co-sign.
Yeah.
I'll co-sign
Ronnie
that
says
lease on your
ditto.
heart.
Ronnie is like Patrick Swayze in Ghost. Ditto.
No, now you're really trying to get everybody pissed off. You're making me say Rush Limbaugh things. Dittos,
Wait.
Rush. That's a thing they say on the Rush Limbaugh show when people call. They're like, "Hey, Rush, dittos." Which I guess means I agree with you, but
You know, can
that's.
I? That's you know what? That is for a conservative right-wing talk show. That's probably not. I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh. I don't know how he feels about gay rights. I can't imagine he's like totally pro them. That is like one of the gayest
Well,
slangs
on
that
one
show could
hand,
have.
he hired,
Dittos.
he gave Elton John $1 million to perform at his wedding. On the other hand, he said it's like marrying a goat.
Dittos.
I actually heard that. I was like, you know, I listen to this show for entertainment, but I think this might be crossing the line. When you're saying things that my meemaw was saying in the 80s, it's time to turn off the radio. You know what I
Well,
mean?
I was trying to keep the ditto in a purely romantic, ethereal place with Patrick Swayze and Ghost, but if you want to bring it to Rush Limbaugh, that's fine.
Well, fine. You can blame me or you can blame Rush Limbaugh, where the blame really lies. Okay, Xeroxed.
Did you
Xeroxed,
mean
baby.
to bring it over to Rush Limbaugh? See, that was like my Padma transition into Top Chef, because we're talking about Top Chef today.
Top Chef
Oh,
today.
Top Chef today, TCT.
So we are in the, you know, finals, but Top Chef will have finals for 10 damn weeks, you know.
Yeah,
Like,
yeah.
welcome to the finals, guys. Whoop, here we are at the finals.
It's the finals. Whoop, we're in Mexico. Whoop, I hope you got your passport photo because whoop, we're going to whoop, Mexico.
So every time we open with the Top Chef finals, it's like 5 weeks of memories, you know. It's like
Yeah.
John's memories of his time on Top Chef. John, did you mean to have memories? Did you mean to have a memory segment right now?
John, did you mean to have such simplistic memories? Well, that's what I like to do. I like to be simple, simple, clean memories, classic memories.
No mayonnaise in any of my memories, okay? John is
Skin is
acting.
on.
Say it again.
I said the skin is on, like the red pepper. It was a red pepper callback that like only I got to
The
myself.
skin is on. He's like,
I'm
it's supposed to be that, okay?
supposed to be slightly bitter. That's how we like it. Otherwise, it's just like a big sloppy memory pile on top of your bread. Slata.
John is acting like he's been on death row, and every episode he's up for parole. I mean, this guy, every time they get to John, he's like, "Well, I've overcome so much and so many demons and really been working on myself. I found Christ, so that's been great. Now that Christ is filling my life, I feel like I should win Top Chef." Like, what the hell? You're trying to go on parole? Shut up. You were a dick. Who cares? You're a chef. You're supposed to be a dick.
I wish I had seen The Green Mile so I could make some jokes about it in reference to John. Like, isn't there some sort of magical Michael Clark Duncan figure in there that John saw at one point in
That's
his life?
Gail
That's oh,
in Padma's
that's
eyes.
your words,
That's
not mine.
what
I'm not
Padma
even
sees when she looks at
kidding. That's
Gail.
what. Okay, now you fixed it. You fixed it. I always so the thing is this: the Padma Gale jokes. I have actually been doing the Padma that Padma bit about like just always saying the shittiest things about Gale on my blog for like years, when I used to blog about Top Chef. But I always felt the need to clarify at some point. By the way, this is not how I feel about Gale. This is how I imagine Padma feels about Gale. Because invariably, people will be like, "Gale is beautiful and she's thin. Why do you keep fat shaming her? I don't like how you fat shame Gale." We're not. We just imagine that Padma does it all the time.
I have to do that on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recap sometimes because I always joke about Kyle the same way, but Kyle's not fat. Like, that's the joke. Kyle's insecure about it, and I love it. So I'm always making Kyle jokes about, you know, like her back hanging over her bras because she's always wearing the wrong size bra or whatever. Yeah, I'll occasionally get a new reader who's like, "What the hell? That's
Stop.
fat. Oh, patriarchy, blah."
It's nice though when Lena Dunham tunes in to listen to us when she's not
Are you
too busy?
Are you doing your fingers on your table or something? There's something like coming through, like you're hitting mic or tapping
the
table.
Do you hear when you hear that? Maybe I am.
That's it.
This what you hear?
Yes, it's terrible.
This little.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's going up through your microphone. Yeah, wow. Stop it. I'm going to kill you.
I'm sorry, listeners.
I'm glad we figured that out. Professional as usual. Like, what is that? God damn it. What were you doing, though? I'm curious.
I was just tapping. I was just like little fidgety like that. No, like, sorry, no. I'm doing it.
Oh, my God. Don't do it. People sleep during this show, Ben.
This is the most professional podcast. I'd like to say that we have, I don't know if we still are, but we were number 3 on iTunes TV and movie list for like a week, nestled in between like NPR and ESPN or You Must Remember This, whatever that is. And I like that we're number 3, not because it's cool to be number 3, but because I know that we are the least professional thing up there. Like, just so like recording levels all over the place, thumping on the desk.
Yeah, I think that at some point they're like, oh, they're number 2. Nope, we cannot put them at number 2. They're going to ruin iTunes reputation, okay? Keep them down. Yeah, Tim Cook is like, no.
I love that we've infiltrated at that level, like with our shitty, shitty production quality.
I know we're actually going to do Kate Casey's podcast tomorrow. We're going to do a crossover episode with Kate Casey. And so we're going to her studio. You know, she has like a studio. Oh. And I just find that hilarious. I'm like, oh, good. I actually had to put down on my list, wake up, take shower. That is never on my list, okay?
We're down to number 5, by the way. But still, by the way, awesome. Okay, so Top Chef.
John's memories. Getting... We've gotten past one sentence in my notes. John's memories, death row.
Yes. So they're all... they're in Guadalajara, Mexico, for the finals, and they're at Chivas Stadium.
Chivas.
And it's a big empty stadium. And it's the finals.
Yeah. So we're going there. We're getting a little of everybody's memories. Shirley's like, I have grown in my confidence, and then we get Sheldon's, and he's like, last time I was here, I was eliminated because I wasn't myself. But now I'm myself. I cook from my heart. And my heart wants stew all the time. Some kind of stew. Mushy food. That's what I like.
Stew and zoodles.
So let's see. Shiva. So Shirley's like, oh my God, are we going to cook for 35,000 people? And you know she really thought they were because she's Shirley.
That would have been actually kind of awesome if there had been a challenge at some point where they had to go to a stadium and they had the little boxes. They had to pull things out of the box, you know, and toss them down the way like concession guys at the stadium. That would be a cool challenge.
Oh, yeah. But how many things can you make with the popcorn and a hot dog? But I guess that's what this show's about, you know?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
I really enjoyed the honey mustard on this hot dog popcorn bite.
Well, you know, it's a ball game. You know, it's what we want in a ball game.
You're going to become one of the greatest chefs ever in history. But, you know, Stu.
At AT&T Stadium.
Who knew? Stu.
By the way, I think we should mention the guest judge for the Quickfire, who was like this burly kind of Mexican bear. And I found him to be oddly very sexy.
Yes, because he talked like this. He's like, welcome to Shiva. This is what I want you to make chili.
It's like, what? What did you say right now? And why do you look like the guy on the tortilla chips bag? You're hot. He looks like Pancho Villa or whoever the hell they...
Pancho Villa was coffee, wasn't he?
I don't know, but there's someone with a big old mustache on some chips.
Pancho Villa was a historical figure. Coffee was you know, when the airplane turns around. We know when the airplane turns around to the commercial from the 80s, they're like, I'm sorry to announce that we have forgotten our coffee, and the airplane turns around in the sky.
No. I'll look it up, though. I hate not being able to yes and you, Ben.
You can yes and me. You can say Mr. Maxwell House, Linda Ellerby.
Linda Carter. Linda Dana.
Like Juan Valdez.
Oh, Juan Valdez.
Yes.
But I don't feel like Juan Valdez talk like this guest judge. Like, welcome to the Shiva Stadium. This is where we play the football of the chili of the blah, perro coño punta quinta.
I'm like, what the fuck are you saying? And say it in my ear, you handsome bastard.
They're like, we have chosen this stadium for the challenge because it's also where the latest office of the agency has opened up. Mauricio comes out. Hello, welcome to the agency office. I'm doing so proud. I just started out as just, you know, on a couch with Kyle. And now, like, now I have an agency. It's really amazing. So I won't have a margarita. They're like, oh,
the only thing that would make this better for me is if I could be here with Kyle right now. Kyle, she's still looking for hot dogs in the hot dog stand, but she'll be back soon. She's the light of my life. You can sleep wherever you want. Just choose a room.
Now, everyone, just stand. Your challenge for today is just to stand in the middle of the stadium while I do laps with my Lamborghini.
Can you believe it? I was going 137 miles an hour. That's crazy.
With no seatbelt down with my daughter in the front seat and a bag full of all our money. Can you believe it? That was not reckless at all.
So Padma's there with Pancho Villa, and she's like, welcome to Chivas Stadium. Did you mean to come to Chivas Stadium? Or did you mean to go get Chivas shoes? I was confused too, guys.
So the mascot for the Chivas is a goat. It's like, is that what Chivas is? A goat?
I don't know, but yeah, that's the mascot. And Padma's like, we are going to find out who is coming back from the whatever after the show is called, where people still keep competing on the internet, WW, whatever. So now, let us look up towards the sky, and the Megatron comes on, and it's just like boring Brooke. She's like, hi.
Remember when I was gone for all of like 1 minute this season? Remember when I was eliminated at the end of last episode, and I was eliminated for all of 90 seconds on this episode, and now I'm back? Yeah.
She's like, I know you can't believe it, guys, but I'm back, and my highlights are worse than ever. I'm like, geez, how did they get so bad? You just got eliminated yesterday.
Well, chefs are not always known for their great hairstyles.
Yeah, and there's also been time. Like, they all got to go home, I think, and come back, you know?
Yeah, it's like when you, if you ever, like, after watching the show for a few episodes, and you get used to how these chefs look and everything, and then you go to the Bravo webpage, and you you look at their bios, and they're all, you know, made up, and their hair is blown out. It looks strange. Like, whoa, someone, like, did their hair nice. It doesn't look right.
It does. And also, we just wreck them at the beginning of the season, just looking at them on the internet first. And we just rip them apart. And then when you go look, it's like, oh, my God, that's, like, their good side. Who knew?
Who knew?
So Brooke is coming back, and they just leave her up on that Megatron so awkwardly, and she just kind of bounces her ponytail a little bit, like, am I on? So Brooke is excited because her worst fear is losing, and she lost, and so she had to get crushed and get over it, and now she's back, and she's like, losing is the best thing that ever happened to me. I can't wait to win, and if I don't, I'm going to kill myself on this Megatron in front of everybody.
Well, and then later on during the quickfire, she was actually like, it's kind of like liberating, you know, when you've got nothing left to lose, right? I'm like, yeah, you do have something to lose. This competition, you're back in it.
Really? That's like, that's going to pay your mortgage for a while, that $150,000 furnished by San Pellegrino and chips.
And Hidden Valley Ranch. Had a lady boner.
It's like Hidden Valley Ranch. Just in their meetings, they're like, I think our people are Bravo people. Anything we can do to get on Bravo, let's just get on every fucking Bravo show.
We have given Hidden Valley Ranch so much advertising on this podcast the past few weeks. They should really, you know, step up to the plate and be official sponsors.
Hey, best drink in my life. I love that cocktail. So Brooke is psyched to be back, of course. And then Padma's like, this is the challenge that will get you one step closer to your goal. And Tom goes, did you say goal? And Padman goes, I did. I was like, oh shit, Padman and Tom are fighting in Mexico.
The comic stylings of Padman and Tom coming to the Catskills this summer.
So their challenge for their quickfire challenge is to cook a goat.
Cook a goat. Because the goat is the mascot of the Chivas, and so we're going to cook the goat, which is kind of morbid. I think Sheldon was the one who's like, so we're going to, it's the mascot, so we're going to cook it. It's like cooking Mr. Met, you know?
Yeah, you can't do that. It's like eating Ronald McDonald when you go to McDonald's.
Well, it's a McDonald's challenge, and Ronald McDonald's is the is the mascot of McDonald's. So, well, we're going to ask you to kill Ronald McDonald and serve him up.
Next week, we're going to human sacrifice Wendy. Whoever can make the best sides for Wendy wins.
This week, we're going to be carving up the early bird. Did you mean to leave the early bird speaking? Did you mean to overcook early bird's goggles?
There's posters all over the street. Missing Carl Jr. Carl is online. He's like, I miss my son.
Carl, are you okay? Carl, we see you're missing, Carl.
So they have to make go. So Sheldon is, he's like, I love goat meat as long as it's nice and tender, so I'm going to make the cheeks. I was like, God, isn't goat gross enough?
I don't know. I don't think I've had goat before. Or if I have, I don't remember it very well. I think I may have had it at some random food thing.
Goats are mean, I'll tell you that.
Goats? Oh, yeah, they are mean.
They're mean little fuckers. My Aunt Josie, she's the like big dykey lesbian in our family. She always had a goat. And she's like, go in there. Say hi to the goat. Don't be a pussy. I'm like, okay. And then, of course, it would like ram me down to the ground. I'm like, ah, help. And my cousins would all be outside the fence laughing at me.
Stories from your childhood. I mean, yeah, my bull dyke aunt who had a goat. I mean, it's unbelievable. By the way, for those of you who missed it, we have a Twitter account, at WhatCrappens. And we had tweeted out the fact that we had reached number 3 or something like that. And then Ronnie's dad tweeted at us and was like, I've always been a Ronnie fan all his life and even before.
Oh, it was damn.
So cute. That Ronnie's so dad cute. Tweeting at us. It was so adorable.
That is so cute. I have a good family. My dad's like, why didn't you tell me you were on Jenny McCarthy again? I would have woken up and listened to it. I got SiriusXM just to hear it. Really, Dad? So embarrassing. I like that. I mean, for him, not for me. But I'm very lucky in that way. Except, you know, then I have the dykants who sick goats on me. So it all evens out in the end, guys.
Yeah.
It all evens out in the end.
So for this quick fire challenge, let's see. So Brooke, she made some goat ribs, which I thought was a really fun approach. And then Shirley, she made she was trying to make like a noodle, like an Asian noodle situation, but she didn't have she had to use a tortilla press. So I really enjoyed the novelty of her making the noodles in a tortilla press. And then John, he was like, he made a torta with tomato sauce. It looked awful.
It looked so bad. And what made it even worse is he's like, well, before coming here, I read a lot about the Guadalajara food scene. And then he made like a sandwich from Subway.
I was like, yeah, that was not the sort of bread that you make a torta out of. Like a torta has a special, I forget what the name of that roll is.
He made it with like a big hero roll.
But it's a special roll for tortas. I went to, there's a place downtown, I don't know if it's still there, called like the Torta Factory or something like that. And I went like 2 years ago and got a full education on the entire process of making a torta. And that, sir, was not a torta. That was just a sandwich. And on top of that, it was like the bread was so thick and so tall that when I looked at it, I was like, this is going to be awful. And sure enough, he got dinged for having a terrible bread to filling ratio. And tomato sauce?
Yeah, I was going to say, he made a tomato sauce that looked like pasta sauce and poured it over it. Like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah, he did this whole thing. Well, you know, I got to keep it, I like to keep it simple, you know. I'm not a sophisticated man. He was doing the caveman lawyer thing on SNL. I mean, I'm just a caveman. I don't know these fancy things like fax machines and bullets and guns, you know, that whole thing. Like, oh, I'm just a simple guy, simple.
Yeah,
guy.
And he's the one who says like he opens 20 restaurants a year or some shit.
Yeah,
like are they all like this?
Yeah, I don't mind when a chef is like, listen, I'm not into the fancy shit. I just want it to taste good. I don't mind that. Like the guy, what's his face, the gay guy from season one. I like it. But with someone like John, it's really annoying.
Yeah. Well, because it's John. And then he gets so defensive whenever they tell him something. Because in judging, they got on him. They're like, that thing is huge. It's like a bloody sandwich or whatever. And his goat was too chewy. Like, his goat wasn't concerned, right? And then, yeah, he goes into self-defense mode. He's like, well, you know, I personally enjoy chewy goat. where I'm from. Yeah, goat is chewy, and that's how we like it. So
when I grew up in Long Island, we always had chewy goat after on our scampi nights. That's just how we did it.
Yeah, there's a difference between simple food and just easy shit that anybody can make. I mean, if it's going to be pouring tomato soup over a goddamn piece of store-bought bread, I could do that. Give me some money.
Yeah, seriously.
So Brooke made goat ribs, which I guess was risky because she's like, do those even have meat on them? I don't know. I guess we're going to find out. But only Brooke can think of things like goat ribs with chamomile and chili.
I thought it looked delicious.
It did. That's just so Brooke. She's goat ribs and chamomile.
you know, no barbecue is complete without chamomile.
So, Brooke, I was concerned about a goat and fruit, but it was amazing in a positive way. So, Shirley. So, the only ones who did really well in this one, I think, were Sheldon and Brooke, right?
Yeah, they really like Sheldon's goat cheeks.
Yeah, and Sheldon was like, to say I won at Shiva Stadium against Brooke would be awesome! They're like, congratulations, Brooke. You win $10,000.
Sheldon, did you mean to shoot yourself in the foot?
Sheldon, did you mean to magnify your loserdom?
Sheldon, did you mean to look so pathetic losing in the middle of Shiva Stadium and to Brooke of all people?
Sheldon, could you please lose again but do it on the Megatron so it's even more awkward and embarrassing for you? So Brooke came back and won that. So the next guest, is it the same man?
No.
Did they bring someone out?
Yeah, well, they mentioned that the next guest judge would be Roy Garcia. Roy or Ray Garcia? I forget. But he is the chef of a restaurant downtown called Broken Spanish, which is so delicious. That restaurant is amazing. And I'm actually hoping to go there this Friday night. It is a sort of like a modern take on classic Mexican dishes. So good. So he was the guest judge.
Oh, okay. So they're
oh, okay.
I'm just honestly in my mind right now, I'm like a modern enchilada. What does that look like exactly? They're like, instead of rolling the enchiladas, we've unrolled them. Like, well, this is so modern.
It's just one of those things where it's, you know, like super fresh ingredients. I can't describe it. It's just really, really good.
Are you suggesting that Baja Fresh does not have super? Oh, by the way, Baja Fresh now has tortas. That's been for a while, but we were talking about them, and it has to be announced. Go eat it. It's delicious.
It has to be announced. I like Baja Fresh. I like Baja Fresh more than Chipotle. I'll just put that out there. How about that?
Oh, a lot better. I don't like Chipotle. A lot better. Chipotle is flavorless white people
it's
food.
It's salty. And, you know, I'm not someone who complains about salt, but it's salty. I think a Baja Chicken burrito from Baja Fresh. That's all I need.
I actually looked up online how to make chicken like Baja Fresh because their chicken is so good. I can't find it anywhere, by the way. There's no answer. I don't know. But it's so juicy and delicious. It's so good. I love you, Baja Fresh!
I feel like they probably use chicken cutlets or something. Like a thinner cut. And then they're able to cook it on the
roaster or whatever.
Faster. Yeah. I think I think also it doesn't dry out as much because I noticed Tiago, my favorite coffee shop, they have a whole kitchen attached and they do you can get like a chicken breast on various salads or breakfast things, and their chicken breast is also really juicy and really flavorful, and it's very thin, and I feel like they either pound it out or they probably just get chicken cutlets, and I think that maybe there's
and I think
like,
it must be really high heat.
That's what I think too. Like, there must be. It might be even is it grilled? I don't know. You know what? Next time I go to Tiago, I'm going to ask because also, Bossa Nova does a really good.
Oh
like,
yeah, they thin do
chicken breast thing. I mean, I'm not a huge Bossa Nova. I think it's fine, but if you ever go to Bossa Nova and you order like one of their sides for $5, a side of chicken breast, it is delicious, and it's again thin, and I think maybe it's grilled or something. It just works.
Yeah, there's something about really high heat. Like, I figured out that's why I can't make pizza properly, because I don't have a pizza oven. And those go to 800-whatever degrees.
You have a stone?
I do, but it just doesn't work the same. Yeah. The pizza won't rise the same in a traditional oven. And I tried for months and couldn't do it. And finally someone was like, dumbass, it rises like that because it cooks so quickly, you know? And then chicken, I think, is the same way, because I did a roasted chicken this week, which normally I don't do, but I'm not going to Sprouts right now because Sprouts is kicking my ass money wise. Like I spend almost $100 more there than I do at Trader Joe's. So I started going back to Trader Joe's, but they don't have a roasted chicken. So I was like, I guess I'm going to make a roasted chicken again. So I got that and I threw it in on broil.
Wow.
And I did it that for half the cooking time and then turned it down. And it was good. It was very good.
You roasted chicken with broil?
Oh, I guess not in the broiler, but I just turned the oven all the way up. And I did half the cook time. I did like 30 minutes that way and then 20 minutes on regular 400. And it was delicious. Yeah. It worked out great. So I think it's high heat.
No, it's like also with salmon. I think I was talking about this a week or two ago about Ina Garten's method of cooking salmon, which she got from Eric Repair. So there is a Top Chef tie-in, Top Chef Masters. And it's now my go-to way of making salmon. And it involves high heat, which is basically you heat a cast iron skillet on high for 5 minutes. You just preheat it. So it's like fully smoking. And you brush the salmon with olive oil. Because, you know, you could either put the oil in a pan first and then sear something in the oil, or you can have a dry pan and coat the thing in oil and put it in the dry pan. So this is putting it in the dry pan, which I think is actually a better way. And what happens is it's so hot, and you put it skin side up first. And I know I mentioned this before, but this is just getting back to the high heat thing you're talking about. But you put it skin side up, so it's like the top of the salmon is searing for about 3 to 4 minutes, and then you turn it over, and then you take the whole pan, you put it in the oven for about 8 minutes. And so what happens is that skillet is so hot, and so you've seared the top, you get a perfect browning on the top, and then while it's in the oven, it continues to cook because of the oven, but the skin is now searing on that extremely hot skillet, and what comes out is this like perfectly crispy but super juicy salmon.
Well, guess what, Ben? Last night I did that very thing. Because you taught me this a couple of weeks ago, yes, and it's delicious. It worked out great.
Yeah, it's
the I still way have to make a piece. Salmon. I made two pieces and put one in the fridge, and I've been thinking about it because we're talking about food. So of course I'm like, I have salmon waiting for me, and then you started talking about the effing salmon again, and it is delicious.
Yeah, the only thing for me that's annoying is that it invariably sets off my smoke alarm because it's very smoky.
It does.
And I actually still have a slab left, but I think I've got to throw it out because I made three pieces on Tuesday. And
I didn't like what it did to the pink part of the salmon, to be honest. I think next time I do it, I'm going to not do it flesh side down first at all. I'm just going to heat the pan, get it really hot, put the salmon on it, and then go into the oven. Yeah, because the top really looked a little mangled because on those cast iron skillets, I mean, you really have to oil something up for it not to stick, but they get so hot that things will stick on there. You know, that fish will stick.
Well, actually, that means that you have a problem with your skillet. That means you have to season your skillet more or like your stuff has built up on it. Because if your cast iron skillet is perfectly, it's not perfectly seasoned, but if it's just like well seasoned, things won't stick to it like that. Because I never have any issue whatsoever. Nothing gets mangled. It flips over.
Oh, so well, nothing usually does, but salmon does, because there's like something sticky or something in that oil. Like when you touch a salmon and then
I'm telling you, I have no issues with it whatsoever. So I actually think there may be a seasoning issue.
Okay. Well, darn, I'll just have to try it again.
Well, luckily, Cooks Illustrated has, I can scan this in. They have a whole thing in the latest issue about how to properly season your cast iron skillet. So I'll send that to you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, send it over. Okay, guys, thanks for joining us for Salmon Break 2017. But honestly, there's no one in my life I can talk to about this shit. My friends don't care. They're like, that's gross. Why would you make salmon?
Well, that's what I like about talking about Top Chef more in depth than we were just even a few weeks ago, because we invariably start discussing stuff we've cooked or eaten in the past week. So it's really fun because we both really like food, and a lot of our listeners like food too. So it's kind of like the food day on Watch What Crappens.
Yeah, food day.
Food day.
So back to the show. They are, their challenge is to go to Patron Factory, the Patron Hacienda. And they're going to throw an employee party over there. And mm-hmm. so they have to make a margarita and a dish that has all the elements of a margarita. The sweet, sour, salty, what's the other thing? Sweet, sour, salty.
Sweet, sour, salty, limey. I don't know. Citrusy.
I don't know. There's something down
Oozy,
there.
Oozy.
They're sweet, like, just salty. Get Brooke drunk. Okay. That's all we want to see. Get Brooke drunk. Oh, sweet, salty, sour, and bitter is what it is.
Sour, of course. It's all the flavors of the tongue, right?
Yeah. So they're going to be judged. Mommy.
Sorry.
So they're going to be judged on that. And they have to make it for 100 damn people. And Sheldon's like, I don't know about tequila. I only like drinking beer in the back of my friend's truck. It's like, I love you, Sheldon.
So it's one of these challenges where it's like, you get to pick a sous chef from one of our eliminated chefs. So out walks Casey, Silva, and Emily, also known as Lena Dunham. And and also Katsuji, of course.
Your favorite. Katsuji. Yeah.
Katsuji. Oh wait, was there another person? It was just those four. There must have been other people.
No, there were just four. No one got their feelings hurt this time. Okay, yeah, because normally they do hurt someone's feelings. They're like, oh, sorry, Lena Dunham. No one wanted to work with you.
Well, so Brooke, for her advantage for winning the quickfire is that she got to choose first. So she chooses Casey, which got me very scared because we know what Casey can do on the final. I mean, Carla.
Yeah, she's like, you want me to fry up some chicken feet?
And put
I know I'm the
machine.
Hot one, but I can handle it. I can handle it.
You know what you should really do with this steak? Just put it all in the sous vide machine. Let's just put the cauliflower in there. Let's put the steak. Let's put the soup. Can we sous vide the soup? What can we do?
The soup. So then
Brooke gets to choose sous chefs for everyone else. So she chooses Emily for Sheldon. Which means that she thinks that Sheldon is her biggest competition, by the way.
Yes.
She chooses Silva for Shirley, which
means
is also,
she really likes Shirley.
Which means she likes Shirley. And then, in a great passive-aggressive move, she gives Katsuji to John.
Yeah, I have to say, I really like that she's all about girl power. Because she helped the girl. She screwed the guys, you know?
Yeah.
And it was smart. And John's like, oh, well, you know, she chose wisely, but that's cooking. I'm going to just have to bury the hatchet with Katsuji. And Tom's like, well, who did he say? He's Mexican. Oh, he's like, don't worry, John. He's Mexican. He could be a secret weapon. You know, a lot of people like, I'm trying to think of a Jewish food. A lot of people like Kegels. Wait, Kegels is a vagina exercise. What am I trying to say?
Kugel.
Oh, there is a Kugel though. So it's
similar. There's a Kugel, maybe Knishes, Kugel.
It's over. I'm not even gonna try and make it work. Now I'm thinking about vaginas working out.
Gefilte fish. They all sort of sound vaginal. So Brooke is talking about her thoughts already, her immediate thoughts about what she wants to make, and she's like, well, I had watermelon this morning for breakfast, so I want to make something with watermelon because I'm obsessed. I'm like, okay. It's watermelon.
Yeah.
So like, it could have been a waffle. The challenge could have gone in a whole different direction if she had a waffle.
I know. I'm glad you just didn't pop some gum in your mouth this morning. That could have been awkward.
Yeah.
It's like, this is an Orbitz quesadilla.
So John is... John is making, and let me know if I skip anything, because I don't take heavy notes with Top Chef. I tend to let it soak in, so let me know if I skip anything. But John is making a working man's dish. It's like, that's what he calls it, a working man's dish. He's like, it's a basic dish, a basic working man's dish. I'm like, of course you are. Of course you're just doing some basic, you know, like bread and ham and cheese or whatever you're going to make, you know?
Yeah, he's like, eggs. He's like, eggs for dinner. Delicious. Like working
Gail Simmons comes parachuting into the stadium.
Dry rubbery eggs! Well, there's Gail.
Did you mean to make a fool of yourself, Gail?
Is that a hot air balloon or is that your outfit?
Gail, I love how your dress doubles as a parachute.
Gail's like, I'm walking. What are you talking about?
Don't you love the way the wind catches Gail's dress? It makes it look like she's one of those hot air balloons you see all over those postcards.
Did you mean to act out the finale scene of Ghostbusters?
Did you mean to recreate the Veruca Salt scene from... Actually, it's not Veruca Salt. It's whoever the... Whatever, the blueberry girl.
Some of my favorite parts of this section was just the John and Kat Tsuji part. Because John's trying to be nice because he knows he can totally get fucked over at this point. And Kat Tsuji is still trying to blame John for throwing him under the bus, which is not how I remember it. Is it how you remember it?
No, not at all. This is one of the areas where I was actually on John's side. John was trying to help Kat Tsuji. And at this point, I believe... I feel like they shoot the finale way after they shoot the regular season, right? So at this point, they've sort of, I think they've been able to see some of the season on TV. And I wonder if he'd been able to see Restaurant Wars yet, because John did not throw Katsuji under the bus. Katsuji was the one who did that.
Yeah. But Katsuji did come to a smart place, because John's like, well, look, I want you to know I don't have any hard feelings. And he's like, of course you don't, because you're still here. So why would your feelings be hard? And John's like, look, I'm sorry. A million times I'm sorry. And he goes, well, look, I can't fuck you over, because if I fuck you, I look like an ass.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, that's at least smart.
But then again, why stop now?
Yeah, exactly. Don't. A man can't change his pinstripe suit that quickly, little Katsuji. Brooke, I wasn't really sure what she was doing, because she's like, yeah, I love tequila. Which is just funny, thinking of Brooke being wasted all the time when she gets home. But she's like, I love tequila, so I'm going to make some avocado soup with a watermelon salad. What? I was scared for her. John wanted to, make his simple thing. And Katsuji was like, no, this is too simple. How about a prickly pear salsa? Oh, and how about a candied rim for the glass? So he came up with every interesting thing John did.
Because John's like, okay, here's my idea for a signature margarita. Lime juice... tequila, citrus liqueur, and here's where it gets interesting. We put it in a glass.
Yeah, what the hell? And he's like, well, I believe in the true margarita. It's like, whatever. You're like Casey making a goddamn crab sandwich on white bread. Get out of here. Yeah. So he's making that. Brooke was going to make some tuna with her salad.
Tuna ceviche. Yeah. Ceviche. God, asa.
Ceviche.
Ceviche. But she can't find any tuna. This is like after they show like this really disturbing image of someone sticking their finger in the tuna's eyeball.
What the hell? Is that how you check for tuna? Like, is that how you check a tuna? That was really gross.
It was really gross.
That scene was directed by Guy Ritchie, okay? It was disgusting.
It was disgusting. Who does that?
Like, did Quentin Tarantino direct this scene? There were so many N-words in the scene flying around.
Scene was very much...
fingered the eye. It was gross.
It was very much like the climax of The Boy Next Door. And anyone who's seen that movie with J-Lo and the hot guy, they know what I'm talking about. Just imagine. So instead, Brooke decides to do a coconut ceviche. And they set it up like there's going to be this dramatic thing, like, oh no, she's going to have to open up a lot of coconuts. It takes a long time to make coconuts and to get this flesh out of coconuts. But there was no coconut drama after that, I have to say.
Yeah. Coconuts are rough, but give Brooke some damn tequila. She'll machete through anything.
Coconuts are like impossible sometimes. I once tried to do that. I bought a coconut for some Matt or Jaffrey recipe. I was like, I'm going to make a coconut curry. I was so excited. And I was like, you know what? Instead of getting, desiccated coconut, I'm going to do – because the recipe says get a coconut, open it up, pull the flesh out, or you can get the desiccated stuff. I was like, no. I'm up for this challenge. I want to get this coconut going. So I got like two coconuts, one as a backup. The first one I opened up, everyone always says opening is the hard part. Opening is not the hard part. You just sort of crack along the edge and it opens up. It was moldy on the inside, so I had to chuck it. So I open up coconut number two, opens right up. I'm like, this is a breeze. It took me like 90 minutes to get that flesh out. It was such a pain in the ass. And I was doing all the tricks, like lighting it over like the stove to loosen it up. God damn it, nothing worked.
Oh no, I just shred it usually. Cut it in smaller pieces and shred it.
Oh, like put it in like the.
No, just like hold a cheese grater and shred it.
And shred it?
That's yeah. Weird. I don't use that much of it, though. One time I bought a coconut and couldn't get it open, so I used my drill, you know, like my home drill, and I just drilled a big old hole in it and drank out of it. I was done with it.
Well, like, you know, you're supposed to take the back of like a big knife and thwack it along the what's it called? The equator, the hemisphere, whatever. Like, you go around and around in a circle, and eventually it breaks in half very easily.
Not in Mexico. In Mexico, you get machete and you slam it through.
So let's just get to the... Oh, we forgot to say what Sheldon's cooking. So
Sheldon's making octopus, Filipino ceviche with octopus, and he's putting the octopus in the pressure cooker. Second time he used the pressure cooker in one episode.
Yeah, and he's using coconut and guava for his margarita. And then Shirley's like, I'm going to keep it Mexican and make a char steak. Maybe some cactus.
I was very scared. When she said that, I was like, no, Shirley, no. Stay in your lane.
Yeah, but she seemed to do okay. I was a little worried for Brooke just because on this show, it's risky to not do a protein. These people hate vegetarians. They hate them. Yeah, not as much as Anthony Bourdain, but they do hate them.
They really set it up for... something disastrous to happen to Brooke. You know, she had to sub out tuna for coconut, and on top of that, coconut's hard to get out. So I was like, oh God, Brooke is going to be, she's going to be gone. She's done. But actually, Brooke's dish, the way it turned out, looked absolutely amazing. It was the one that I wanted to have the most.
Yeah, Brooke seemed to come out the best. They did a lot of things that could have gone wrong, because Sheldon, his octopus was all chewy and disgusting.
Well, that's what Sheldon was saying. He was like, he left it in too long. He's like, oh, the texture, it's too soft. It's like falling up. The tentacles are falling off. Oh, I really messed up. But meanwhile, the judges later on were like, oh, this texture is amazing. It's a great octopus. I was like, shut up, Sheldon. Misleading us.
So we don't get Gil today, unfortunately. We get Richard Blaze with his huge mouth.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. There was something that we forgot to mention about Shirley, which is that Silva almost pulled a Casey on Shirley, which is that he bought some sort of vanilla shit instead of the agave shit.
Oh yeah.
You're like, oh. But since it's Shirley. Silva, and Silva is so sweet and lovely, I give him a pass.
Yeah. What if his restaurant burned down because vanilla caught on fire and he just can't get over it?
He will never be able to watch Vanilla Sky again. I am so mad at myself. I'm so mad. I can't believe I bought vanilla instead of agave. I am furious at myself right now.
Vanilla Sky. That's the movie with Tom Cruise, right?
Yeah.
And that opens like this. Penelope Cruz going, open your eyes. Open your eyes. Open your eyes.
Open your rice?
Open your eyes.
Open your eyes. It's from Padma.
Oh, okay. So let's go over to the judging or the event.
The event, yes. So, yes. Stupid Richard Blaze.
Blaze. You know, I don't know if I don't respect Blaze because he was a contestant on the show. And so I feel like, he thinks he's so great that he gets to judge now. But I don't feel like that, even with the biggest douchebags. Like the Voltaggio twin, I didn't feel like that. I mean, he is a douchebag, but I still like him.
No, because Richard Blaze tries too hard to get his chef credibility. It's like a new professor, you know, who does an extra hard test to try to get their brownie points with the other professors. You know, be like, no, I may be 27, but I am a legitimate professor. See, look how hard I grilled these students.
Yeah, it's like you're no Simon Cowell. Or actually, I guess sticking on the Bourdain train, you're no Anthony Bourdain, so just drop it. It's not going to happen. How about just try being a decent person? Maybe you'll become famous for that.
He makes me pine for the days of Toby Young being on this show.
That guy was at least hilarious, you know. People really attacked him. I think if he came on around this time, people would have been nicer to him because the show's a little older.
Yeah, and he also, like, he came on Totally miscalibrated. I think he even said that in an interview once where he thought that everyone wanted him to be acerbic and British. And so he came on just guns blazing and everyone was like, whoa.
Yeah. He's like, you didn't quite hit that note, darling. They're like, no, it's a food show. Oh, right. Right. It's like, you should Jennifer Hudson that one. Like, no, this is tuna fish. No, sorry about that.
I would rather listen to a bag with 9 cats in it caterwauling then eat another bite of your food.
Oh yeah, that guy, I don't think he was bad as people thought, but man, did they hate him.
They hated him.
So the judges all split, you know, divide and conquer, and Blaze and the guest judge guy go over to Sheldon and Emily first, which I was sad that they didn't let Lena Dunham do more in this episode. I wanted to see her cry or be upset, but she was like, look at me, I'm prepping. And he's like, you're doing so great prepping. She's like, yeah. And that was kind of it for her. But his margarita was guava and cocoa, coconut. And Richard Blaze is like, is this supposed to look like the bottom of a fish tank? Gross.
Yeah.
And then Sheldon pulled a John. He was like, yeah, supposed to look like that because, you know, I just like everything in there and I want to eat it all up. I was like, well, you're learning something from John. That's nice.
It did look rather swampy. It was like a not an attractive margarita.
It was like a broken lava lamp.
Yeah, they did. They loved the octopus, but the margarita was out of balance.
But I was worried for him because, you know, the biggest criticism this season, and probably just because Casey made it that way, was Blaze said, you know, this octopus is missing a little salt. And I was like, dun, dun, dun.
I'm surprised Casey just didn't jump in just on behalf of Sheldon. Oh, salt. It needs more salt. Is that what you're saying? Oh, I see. Okay. All right, more salt. All right, fine.
Are you saying 1 grain of salt is why I lost Top Chef?
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. You can have your opinion. That's
not
fine.
My
that's
white
fine.
Bread scallop. So Shirley, Tom, and Padma. Padma's like, how are you, Shirley? Yeah, yeah. What the hell, Padma?
Yeah, so Padma loves Shirley's salsa, but the vanilla ruins everything for everyone with the meat. And Tom's like, yeah, it's chewy. It's chewy. I don't like it. No.
Yeah, it's too chewy. I think Padma just smoked a bowl before she did this scene. Because first she was like, how are you, Shirley? And then she goes, Shirley's talking about her food. And she's like, I wanted to embrace what's here. So I just wanted to take what's here and to embrace it. And she goes, we want to embrace you. Okay.
All right, Padma.
Thanks for stopping in, weirdo.
Yeah. Did you mean to not strain your margarita? It's thick. We're going to call this the Gail Simmons of margaritas.
This is one pattern away from getting a job on this show.
I don't know if I can. I don't know if I could drink this. It's just too bitsy and chunky. Gail, do you want a margarita? Oh, I keep forgetting she's not here. Every time I feel a footstep on the ground, I just think it's Gail coming over to have more food.
I'm carrying around this pail so I could put all of our leftovers together for Gail. She'll just eat them in one bucket.
Jeez, we just put it in the Vitamix, you know. You know, it's tough getting in the blender because Gail's always just trying to pot the ingredients before we can puree them up all nice for her.
So let's see. Katsuji and John. Yeah. Blaze goes over there. Caldo de ren con pollo. He's like, so chicken salad?
Yeah, what did John make? I don't even remember.
He made a soup, I think. He made like a... Did he?
No, well, I know. So all I remember is the fact that they were unimpressed with the margarita. And they were like, well, the rim saves it. Thank God for that rim. That was a really good rim. And it's like, that wasn't even John, as you mentioned earlier. That was all Katsuji.
Yeah. And I wrote caldo, so I think it was a soup with chicken, like chicken soup or something. I don't know. So
they just thought it was too simple.
Yeah, they were bored. Brooke's salad and whatever, soup.
They love it.
Padma loved it. Her nipples got so hard.
So
I could not stop staring at Padma's nipples.
Yeah, it was like two little pinto beans under there. She was fully all nipples erect, A&E.
Yeah, she really was. Tom was like, well, this nipples taste great. Tom, did you mean to say nipple? That's not what I said. I said breast in my face. Tom, did you mean to say breast in my face? No, no, I'm just eating this lovely tit factory.
Tom.
Anyway, let me try some areola with that. Tom.
This perfectly salted areola.
Did you mean to say olive oil?
Yes.
Yeah, they love Brooks. And I think I don't think any of the margaritas really knocked it out of the park. I feel like let's say they thought that Shirley's was too thick. They thought that John's was too basic. They thought Sheldon's was too swampy, and I think they thought that Brooks was too weak, right?
Well, Brooke was saying that hers was weak. I don't know. I don't remember what they said about
hers. Because Padma was like, is there any alcohol in this, if I remember correctly? But of course, at that time, Padma was probably totally blitzed. And
yeah,
like,
she's just a raging drunk at this point.
Can I tell you something? Brooke, you're like my best friend. did you mean to be my best friend? Did you mean to make our friendship so spicy? We're like the hot ones. Don't talk to me. She's not hot like us.
We're the hot ones.
And Pam wakes up the next morning like, oh my God, I'm so drunk. I can't believe I told anyone they were hot.
So Tom and Padma go over to John's station next. And here's what cements my dislike of John. And I don't hate him as much as I feel like he thinks that I hate him. And by me, I mean America.
Okay.
But I don't hate him that much. But I do hate whenever somebody says, well, I'm the underdog of this challenge.
Yeah,
you are not
up.
The underdog. You have the most experience and the most awards out of anybody here, John. You are no underdog.
The only reason why you could possibly be conceived of as the underdog is because you've been serving up lackluster food for weeks and weeks and weeks. That doesn't make you the underdog. That makes you the underperformer.
Yeah, exactly. You just have a lower rank.
You're just not as good. You're probably good. I'm sure, like, if we went to his restaurants, it's probably good. It's probably very good.
Well, he also said, most guys my age, they don't even cook anymore. They just walk around kissing babies and shaking hands, like, because they're all running for mayor. Like, what are you talking about?
Why are you hanging out with so many mayors, John? Did you mean to not run for office, John?
He's all proud of himself for still going to work. Well, maybe you should stop punching the babies. Because, you know, he goes out there. It's like, fuck your baby. Fuck your stupid baby. Didn't like my food. Your baby's not going to finish my food. Boom. Oh, my God. He punched my baby. He's never going to be mayor, John.
Never. Never.
I'm writing Padma Nipples. I wrote Padma Nipples about 7 times. So if anything else happened in this show, it's up to you to tell me.
Okay. Well, basically, I don't seem to remember anything else truly significant happening at judging. So I think we can go over to the judges' table now, correct?
Yeah. So they start with Brooke, and Blaze is like, so, Brooke, cold soup in the finale. Don't you think that's playing it a little safe?
I'm like, being an asshole, don't you think that's playing it a little safe? Richard Blaze.
Yeah.
Richard Blaze is like, look, I've been in your shoes before. I've been in the finals on my second turn. I've been there before. It's like, what's your point, sir, aside from trying to brag and trying to prove yourself to these people, sir?
I've also been on television. How about you shave your fucking face? You look ridiculous, okay? You are no Voltaggio brother, sir. Just please stop trying to look like all trendy. And what is that when people dress like they're from that show Hell on Wheels? What's that called? Where they're like, I have a pipe now.
I don't know Hell on Wheels.
Just like old timey, like pioneer days.
Pioneer days.
Hipsters.
I always call it farmer chic. It's like when people from Brooklyn think that they're farmers and they dress in suspenders and like tweed, like not tweed, like burlap.
Yes, or, but it's a
like puffy old like shirts with toggles.
No. This is where they have like big brass pipes and
steampunk.
Yeah. With that beard. I was like, no, please stop it, Blaze.
I actually liked his beard. I will give him credit. I liked his beard. But what I thought was funny was that Richard came on so strong, like, don't you think you're playing a little safe with your cold soup? And then everyone else was like, we love the soup. That was the most amazing thing that we had. I'm like, ha, Richard Blaze.
Yeah, you're an idiot. He's like, you really need to think of how to win and survive at this point. And she's like, well, I wanted to make it perfect, and that was my goal. And they're like, it was.
It was great. Stupid Don't listen Richard. To Richard Blaze. He doesn't know. It reminded me of a childhood experience that I once had, which was the kindergarten production of Snow White. And I was cast as a tree amongst there were about five or six of us who were trees, because, as we all know, Snow White goes running through the woods in search of safety. And the director of this kindergarten production of Snow White told us, you can either be a mean tree and go, "Hoo-ha-ha-ha-ha," or you can be a nice tree and go, "Run, Snow White, run." So all the boys, we all decided that we were going to be mean trees, and all the girls decided to be nice trees. And I was like the first tree. The way we were staged, I was the first tree that she encounters. So it's like the day of the play, and Snow White comes running through, and I go, "Wah!" And then every single other tree, boy and girl, go, "Run, Snow White, run." So I was like the psychotic tree in the forest, who was like sadistically happy to watch Snow White's life crumble around her, and all the other ones were like, "Gross, Snow White." So I was the Richard Blaze before Richard Blaze was Richard Blaze.
That's hilarious. I'm just proud of you for not going, "Welcome to Brigadoon."
I should have done that. They're like, "How does he know? He's only in kindergarten." "Snow White, you're in Brigadoon." She's like, "Oh, shit. I have to go back to the castle. Sorry."
Oh, my God. Okay, so Blaze was the only one mean to Brooke.
Yes.
And Tom was like, "Well, it had so many great textures, and, you know, also, good job standing up to Blaze." Which is nice.
Richard Blaze also, he told John, he was like, "You know what? Your Chamoya rim really saved the day." And as far as we could tell, maybe it was edited out, John did not say, "Well, that was actually Katsuji who did that." I was like, "You are a fucker, John. You just sat there and you let people believe you made up that rim, and you did not do that rim. That was a bad rim."
That's John. That's John for you. Mm-hmm. So then he does his standing up for his tequila. They're like, "This was literally a margarita." Yeah. And he goes, this was his big excuse, which was so, I mean, this guy really reaches. He goes, "Well, a gentleman worker who worked in the fields, the agave fields, told me, 'Hey, man, thanks for respecting the tequila and not muddling it up with all those ingredients like the other chefs.'" I'm sure, eh?
That was probably like a PA on the show. It's like, "Let's fuck over, John."
It's like, "Thanks for the shot of tequila, Jan." And Tom's like, "Well, is that more important than winning? Making some farm worker happy?" "Congratulations, you've made a migrant worker happy. You lose."
Yeah.
Sheldon, Tom was like, "Nice knife work, but a sloppy cocktail." And Sheldon was like, "I did rustic because, you know, the dish was so refined." I don't know. They all had kind of weird excuses in this one.
Yeah. I mean, Shirley was the only one who Shirley was definitely in the danger zone with that vanilla situation, because she's like, "Well, I taste it and I like it. So I thought it'd be good. I thought it'd be fun." And they'd be like, "No, it was terrible."
Yeah. She's like, "It was beautiful accident." And Padma was like, "That accident was ugly." Sorry, it was an ugly accident.
Literally the worst accident. It was like the Gail Simmons of accidents.
It was like when Gail Simmons discovered tights.
Terrible, terrible accident.
And Blaze is like, "Well, surely the salsa was amazing. All I really needed was a bag of chips and a bubble bath." I was like, "Get out of here. Who hired you?" Bath.
Yeah. I don't want to see you having a Calgon moment with Shirley's salsa.
Yeah, you know Blaze is the one to come out of a bath with chip crumbs on him. I mean, that is so Blaze.
Yeah, enjoy your soapy tortilla chip.
Yeah, loser.
You can't even enjoy chips and salsa if you're in a bubble bath, because then it's like you got to wipe your hands off from the soap because you don't want soap in your tortilla chip. And then you're like there, and then you're like holding it like above the water awkwardly, and you suddenly it's all ruined.
We've been there.
We've been there.
Together.
Yeah.
So Brooke wins.
Yay.
And Brooke just laughs deliriously. Like, whatever happened to Brooke, I don't know if she was MK Ultra'd. I don't know what they did to this bitch. But she came back like, "I'm Brooke. I love life. I'm Brooke. I'm just happy to be here." Did they give you a drug habit when you were away? What the hell, Brooke?
Brooke.
So she won another she won basically $7,500 because they gave her a crystal bottle of Patron.
Yeah, they gave it to her, and then they're like, now that you have this, just, you know, it's $7,500. She's like, whoa, and she, like, opens up and takes a swig. She's like, that's $1,500.
She's just like,
I'm like, enjoy checking that in your bag going home and watching it get stolen.
Or broken.
Yeah, enjoy that now.
Yeah, she brought her tiny tube of toothpaste, but she's going to get caught with that fucking crystal. You know she is.
Too much liquid.
So, table, let's see. So, Blaze is the most angry at the vanilla beef, and I wrote, no!
Me too.
But
I'm so sad. I'm so nervous.
Thankfully, John's a jackass, and probably could have saved himself if he didn't have a defensive answer for every mistake he makes. But yeah, he didn't, and so he's out.
Yeah, because at least Shirley had that salsa that they, I mean, they loved the salsa. So, there was that redeeming quality. But John... the only thing he had was that chamoy rim, I think, and that was the only thing that they liked. And I think it was also Katsuji made like a little sort of topping that went onto John's dish, and they liked that also. Yeah. So it was like the everything they liked about salsa. It was Katsuji. Yeah.
So of course John, he's like, I'm upset and confused. I didn't think I made the worst dish and drink, but I promised myself to take it like a man. So.
He's like, well, at least there's Last Chance Kitchen. Like, he shows up in an empty room. Well, I'll cook what I do best, some simple food. I'll just wait here for Tom. Just keep on waiting. I'll be around soon. I'll just hang out.
Parole denied. So that brings us to end.
By the way, I have a theory that they kept him for the finals just that way they could eliminate him without him ever being able to go to Last Chance Kitchen and come back.
Yeah, they just saved it. They're like, damn it, we're not going to let him pull it out again.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is the end. That is our Top Chef episode.
That was it. We will be back tomorrow with some Vanderpump Rules with the ladies of People's Couch, Julie Goldman and Brandi Howard.
Yes.
And then Wednesday, we have a big week of guests this week, Ben.
We do have a big week of guests.
Wednesday, we have Beverly Hills with a special guest who we'll talk about later. And Thursday, we have something else. Oh, Friday, we're doing our joint podcast with Miss Kate Casey of Summer House.
Well, she's not of Summer House, but she...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Our podcast will be about Summer House.
New cast member, Kate Casey.
Okay, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. We will talk to you later.
Bye, everyone. Bye.